2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Amen. What an amazing promise there at the end, which actually doesn't apply to the temple anymore because the temple doesn't exist, but it applies to you and me because we now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord promises that his eyes will be open and his ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Amen. Okay, so the theme of this morning really has been spiritual awakening. I prefer to use the term spiritual awakening rather than the term revival, because the word revival doesn't actually appear in the Bible, but refreshing and awakening very much does. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. That's what revival is all about. That's what awakening, refreshing, call it what you like. Now today, in our society, in our church, in our town, we need spiritual awakening more than ever before. You need spiritual awakening every day of your life. Otherwise, we begin to slip backwards. Just consider for a moment the attitudes and actions that we see in our day. Abortion. In 2014, the total number of abortions was 184,571, and 37% of those were repeat abortions. Think about same-sex marriage. It's now legal in our country. Crime, in some areas, is out of control. You hear in the news of mothers killing their children. You hear of drug and alcohol abuse, domestic violence, mass shootings, burglary, rape, etc. We find churches in this country are declining and closing at an amazing rate. Over the last 10 years, 1,000 Methodist churches in this country have closed their doors to the public. 2/3 of the United Kingdom population now has no connection with any religion. Between 1979 and 2005, half of all Christians stopped going to church on a Sunday. 4 in 5 Britons want religion to be private, not public, and have no place in politics. All indications show a continued secularization of our society along the lines of what you find in other European countries, such as France. Pastors are giving up the ministry at an alarming rate. And while divorce rates in this country may be declining, it's only declining because of the accepted practice of couples living together before getting married. We find controversy and conflicts in churches right across this land. And many churches today seem to have more scandals than EastEnders. One significant problem in a small church, I am told this, is the isolation of the pastor. In a small church, there are no staff members from whom to obtain emotional and spiritual support. And when issues arise in the church, the pastor often faces them alone. So it's not surprising that pastors are giving up the ministry in such large numbers. Churches can be dysfunctional, and then we wonder why people don't want to come to church any longer. Do we need a functional church in Ullerton? Absolutely. Do we need to be functional as people? Absolutely. Do we need to get it right? We do. Do we need spiritual awakening? Absolutely. We do. So we need something. And we need revival. We need refreshing. We need spiritual awakening. Now, our perceptions of revival can be skewed, because we often think of revival as something that happens elsewhere. We think of the Welsh revival or the great revivals of the 18th century in the United States. Stuff that happened and happens elsewhere. It happens in Toronto. Yeah, it happens in Korea. It happens in South America. But we never think of revival as actually being in the United Kingdom. We never think that revival could be possible in Ullerton. But I want to help us to change our mindset and our mentality this morning. We think, you see, of revival as an act of God. I've often heard it said that the harvest is down to us, but revival is down to God. That God decides whether we get revival or not. You see, there's a problem here, because if we say revival is with God, then we give up all responsibility for it. It's no longer your responsibility, and it's no longer my responsibility. It's God's responsibility. So God decides whether Ullerton gets revival or not. God decides that there's revival in Toronto or wherever, but because it's God's decision. And that's the way traditionally we have often looked upon this spiritual awakening. But actually this morning I want to change our mindset, because I am firmly in the camp that says, if you, Ullerton, want revival, you can have revival. Because actually, God's done his part. God's taken responsibility for his part. He's poured out all of his Spirit at Pentecost. His Spirit has been poured out. His Spirit is here this morning. So revival is no longer the responsibility of God, because he's done his part. Revival is now your responsibility and my responsibility. It's what do we do with what God has done. Amen? Are you excited about this? It's our responsibility. So what is revival? Revival refers to a spiritual awakening from a state of inactivity, stagnation, sluggishness, lack of productivity in the life of the believer. Do you have any of those things in your life? Lack of productivity, sluggishness, sleepiness, stagnation, inactivity. Then you need awakening. The Great Awakening in the U.S. in 1740 made Christianity intensely personal. It wasn't about religion. It wasn't about ritual. It wasn't about ceremonies. It was about a personal, deeply felt, intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And that awakening is available to every man, every woman, and every child in this building this morning. You can have revival. You and I can have spiritual awakening. And if enough of us have that kind of awakening in our lives, we can make an incredible impact on the church and on Ullerton itself and even further. You see, revival starts in you and me. Newspaper men from London went to see firsthand the marvelous happenings in the Great Welsh Revival at the turn of last century, 1904. And on their arrival in Wales, one of them asked a policeman where the Welsh Revival was happening. And as policemen do, he stuck his chest out, drew himself up to his full height, he laid his hand over his heart, and he proudly proclaimed, "Gentlemen," he said, "the Welsh Revival is inside this uniform." That's where the revival is. That's where it starts, and that's where it flows from. he had experienced a spiritual awakening in his own life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you need this awakening. You need to awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. He shall give you light, and he will give you life. Because what you're looking for is not found in the stuff around you that many are so desperately seeking. What you are looking for is found truly only in that awakening and in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This awakening includes a resurfacing of a love for God. Wow. Has your love for God been rekindled and has it resurfaced this morning? It's an appreciation of the holiness of God and that we are called to live according to God's standards, not according to the standards of the world. It's a passion for his word and for his church. It's a passion to serve the word of God and to serve the church of Jesus Christ. It's a convicting awareness of personal and corporate wrongdoing. It's a turning away from all those things. And it's a turning to Jesus for forgiveness and for life and for lordship over our lives. This awakening involves a wonderful, incredible humility. Perhaps the thing that is at the base of all revival is humility. And I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment if I get a chance. It's a desire for repentance and for growth in righteousness. Hallelujah. So, revival is a deep, intimate awakening of intimacy with the Father through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and for me. Revival, it refreshes us and it deepens our faith in God so that we begin to believe that anything is possible with God. When you begin to believe that anything is possible with God in your life, that God can heal your body, that he can provide for your family, that he can give you a new job, that you can pass your examinations, that you can be the person that you never thought you could be, that you could go places that you never thought you could go. When you begin to see a new vista on life and begin to get a fresh grasp of the possibilities that God can bring into your life, you, my friend, are in revival. You're not in sluggishness. You're not in darkness. You and I, we are in revival. When we begin to see that this room can be filled twice over on a Sunday morning, we are in revival. Amen? So it leads to a deep faith in the believer. It leads to a fresh start. And I believe there are people here this morning who have made a fresh start, maybe even some people who still need to make a fresh start. Revival breaks the charm and the power of the world over your life. This charm and this power, it blinds our eyes and it generates, the revival generates the will and the power to live in the world but not be of the world, not be controlled by the world, not be drawn into the things of the world, but to renounce, to forsake, to walk away, and to live for Jesus Christ. I want to give you this morning, and I've got 10 minutes left, I'm going to give you a formula for revival. People say revival is with God. Revival isn't with God. Revival is with you and me. And I'm going to give you a formula this morning, and it's this. If my people, who are called by my name, us, we are called by the name of the Lord. We carry the name of Jesus upon us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. There is your formula for revival. There is your formula for your personal spiritual awakening and the power and refreshing of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Revival is needed wherever there is stagnation, mediocrity, rebellion, or half-heartedness in the life of a believer. God has not destined you for any of those things. God has destined you for life and for power and for breakout and for breakthrough. Revival is needed and is possible in all these situations. Now, the Lord instructs Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 as to what should be done if there is a drought or a famine or need of revival in the land. And he says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then the promise of God is this: I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. But I believe that at the root of all of this lies the need for humility, deep humility in the people of God. God turns his nose up at pride. God looks away from pride. But wherever he finds a people who are willing to humble themselves and bow down before the Lord Jesus and serve him and serve his church, then God can do amazing things. Charles G. Finney defined revival as this. He said, nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God, just as in the case of a converted sinner. The first step is a deep repentance, a breaking down of heart, a getting down into the dust before God with deep humility and a forsaking of sin. Nothing else. That's it. There we have it. That's the first step, is humility. Harry Moorhouse was a revivalist conducting a crusade in a city in the United States, and there was no revival. Night after night, he preached his heart out, and there was no revival. It was like he was beating his head against a brick wall. All day and all night, he was on his knees, searching his heart and crying out to God, oh God, why is there no awakening? And one day, he was walking along the street, and the Holy Spirit drew his attention to a notice board which said, in large letters, Harry Moorhouse, the most famous of all British preachers. And at once he said to himself, that's it. That's the reason there is no revival. He went to the campaign committee and said, brothers, now I know why there is no revival. See how in this advertisement, you advertise me as the greatest of this and the greatest of that. No wonder the Holy Spirit will not work. He is grieved and quenched because you haven't magnified the Lord Jesus. He is the wonderful one. I'm just a poor, simple, humble servant preaching the glorious gospel and saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Friends, that's what we need to be about. It stinks in God's nostrils when we draw attention to ourselves and when it becomes about us. As we prayed already this morning in our prayer meeting, this is not about us. This is about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's not about our gift, our commitment, or our accomplishments. Pride alienates us from God, but humility draws him close to us. And so whenever we start talking about Mike Phillips, or we start talking about me or somebody else, friends, you need to know this church is in trouble. This is not about me. This is not about you. This is about serving the Lord Jesus and making him Lord of this church and serving him and serving his church all the days of our lives. If you and I want revival, then we need a deep humility whereby we refuse utterly and absolutely to make it about us, to make it about me, but always to make it about serving the Lord Jesus. Amen? So a deep humility is the first thing. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. The second thing is pray and seek his face. It was Evangelist Gypsy Smith He was asked once, how do you start a revival? And he said, go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, draw a chalk mark all around yourself, and ask God to start the revival inside of you. He said, when he has answered the prayer, the revival will be on. So revival doesn't start in others. It starts inside me. It starts when I get down on my knees, when I seek the face of God for me, not for anybody else, but for me first of all. I love it when I go into a prayer meeting and we're not just praying about them out there or other people. I love it when we're praying about us. Lord, change my heart. Lord, change our hearts in this room. So revival does not start when we invest in other people. Revival starts when we invest our time in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go into our room, we draw a mark around ourselves and we seek the face of God until he answers. And we don't give up. We never, ever give up until God has answered our prayer. R.A. Torrey gave a prescription for revival, and all of these are along the same lines. He said, first, let a few Christians get thoroughly right with God themselves. This is the prime essential. Second, he said, let them get together in a prayer group to pray for a revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. And third, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for him to use as he sees fit in winning others for Christ. Three things. Starts with you, not God. Get yourself, ourselves, right with God. Secondly, pray, and pray with other people. And thirdly, make yourself available to God to win other people for Jesus Christ. This prescription for revival is wholly dependent upon man, not God. Get yourself right, bind yourself together in prayer, put yourself at the disposal of God. And then, when God answers that prayer, the revival is on. The last thing I'm not going to go into today is turning from your wicked ways. God, I believe, will show anybody who's not living right that they need to turn away and embrace the holiness of God and live a life that is honoring to the Lord God. So, my final question to you today is, are you willing to pay the price for personal and corporate revival? Can I inspire anybody today to allow the revival, the awakening, to start inside of you? There are people here this morning and God is calling you. God is calling you forward. God is calling you up. God is calling you out. God wants to start a fire inside of you. Felicity, God wants to start a fire inside of you. You will never be the same again. Yeah, God is changing you from the inside out this morning. God spoke to me about Christine Mahoney. I don't know if she's here this morning, but God is going, is Christine here? There you are, Christine. I didn't even know you were here. But God is speaking to you because, again, you know, you're a wonderful, quiet woman of God, but there is also a fire inside of you. God wants to release that fire. He wants you to step up. He wants you to step out. Tom, God has got an incredible future for you. God wants to put a fire in you and a fire under you as well. And he wants you to step out because he's got things for you to do that you never thought were possible. Yeah, you never thought it was possible because you look down on yourself. God says, don't look down, look up. When you look up, you'll begin to see yourself as God sees you. God sees a lion inside of you. God sees a mighty man of God. God sees a Samson. Somebody that God can use in a mighty and incredible way. So there's an awakening going off inside of you. Amen? Reviving the church is like remodeling your house. It takes longer than you hoped. Maybe Vicky and James appreciate this. It takes longer than you hoped, costs more than you planned, and makes a bigger mess than you ever thought possible. But it's worth it in the end. You have an amazing job at the end of the day. God is bringing, I confidently predict this morning, and it started already, God is bringing revival into this church. God is reviving, renewing, refilling people in this church. You know, but it will take longer than we hoped. It'll cost you more than you planned, and it'll make a bigger mess sometimes than you ever thought possible. But wow, what an outcome. What an amazing outcome we will have in this church. Step up this morning. Step out, because God has an amazing plan and an amazing purpose for each and every one of you. Let us bow our heads and let us pray.